Blog Talk Radio.
The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Welcome to What's New with VH Hughes. I'm your host, Venus Henderson Hughes. So happy to be here. Happy New Year. In the studio, I have my co-host with me. Good morning, Regina.
Morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So we had technical difficulties last week when we scheduled this show, so we're redoing the show today. I believe that we should have the success that we need in order to have a successful show. Yes. So with that, the show is a sort of year in review of 2018, which, of course, we sort of did a half a season, according to my research. So we did January to June, basically. And, of course, that was because life happened and we got sidetracked on some things. And what we're looking to do for 2019 is to be seriously consistent and finish the whole season with regard to the radio shows, whether they are twice a month or once a month. That decision is up in the air, but we want to continue to bring you hot topics and discussions on relevant, factual public health matters. And so looking at our basically year in review, we started off January with drugs and alcohol facts awareness week, just talking about the statistics as far as teens and drinking and doing drugs. And although some of the statistics were favorable as far as teens not drinking and using drugs, however, the access to drugs and alcohol was still there, even though we as parents know that we should lock up our liquor. We as parents know that we should lock up our medicines. They have all kinds of campaigns regarding it, but still the children are getting access to drugs and alcohol. And of course, when I say drugs, I'm not talking about just illicit. I'm not just talking about illicit street drugs. I'm talking about in your medicine cabinet or wherever you leave your medicine. And I don't know, Chris, what do you think as far as how do we as parents prevent this or prevent the ignorance, if you will, from other parents that are not using the ability to lock up their liquor? Is it a situation of denial? Is that what's going on, that my child couldn't possibly be drinking? Or could it be the situation where it is accepted in the household? What do you think?
I think partly the fact that some people are not cognizant enough of the daily lives of the family to think about stuff like that. Usually people, when they get off of work, want to, you know, have their beer or have a glass of wine and are not really thinking for the fact that, you know, could my child or any young folk in the house get into any of this or whatever. But unfortunately, you have to be more cognizant. You have to be more visual of stuff like that or whatever. Like you said, to light the items up into a cabinet where you only have access to downstairs refrigerator, for example, with your beer, so that there's no alcoholic beverages in the refrigerator, will be a step to help rectify that situation, because kids being kids, by getting the stuff unnecessarily or whatever, they still will find a way. Those particular steps would help to prevent that or lessen that outcome, though.
Enjoy a conversation. Give us a call at area code 646-787-8365. Now, I do recall when I was in high school, there were students that came to school drunk. And I also remember when I was in high school, I was able to actually go to the liquor store and purchase liquor without even being carded. So things have
changed now.
Your times have changed.
So in some other countries, they allow their kids to indulge in drinking if they want to.
This is true. In European countries, for example, I think it's 13, 14, they're allowed to have wine because in their culture, that age is old enough for them to indulge in drinking wine spirits for special occasions or just to be, you know, enjoy themselves with the family.
Well, we're not in another country or a different culture, and here in the United States, we do have age restrictions. You cannot buy alcohol unless you were born, what is it, the sticker says, this day, before this day in 1998. So, here we are. That's your cutoff point. Next subject for February was sexual health in Black America. Now, this one here, of course, tied into our TEASE program and everything else. And the statistics were, I wish I could say they were not surprising. Some were surprising and some weren't. The fact of the matter is that we have all kinds of education, all kinds of information out there with regarding STDs or sexually transmitted diseases or sexually transmitted diseases. Continue to rise, and that baffles me as a public health educator. Even now, in the state of Georgia, Atlanta, where the CDC is housed, they have high STD rates, and that's really baffling because that is the hub, that is the home of the Center for Disease Control, and yet these rates are still outlandish. People are still getting gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, HIV, AIDS, all of this. And do you think it's just a case of more knowledge needs to be out there, more PSAs, public service announcements? What is going on? Are we the thing that I thought about was the to have unprotected sex and things like that. But at some point, your ownership belongs to you. So you can't really be mad at your partner if you do become infected with something because it's a dual responsibility. You have the responsibility not only to protect yourself, but also to be honest with your partner.
But see, that's the situation that most sexual activities don't come with the fact of if a person, the man, for example, might have a STD, is going to, like, hey, baby girl, I got this going on, what can it be? You know, if you still want to get with me, that's fine, but just got to let you know. Full disclosure is not usually something thought about when people are trying to have sexual relations with each other.
You know, it's still the whole mentality of getting down with the get down, but then after the fact, I think there's still that ignorance that the only thing that can happen is that I can end up pregnant. Nobody is thinking about this life sentence of, say, a herpes or a HIV or the antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea or whatever disease they come up with. These are the things that just go from the simplest as far as that health class where you see the film and they tell you about it and you still go out there and have unprotected sex anyway. So,
well, unfortunately, as always, especially for younger folks,
it's a thrill just to be alone with somebody that you like.
Exactly. The fact of being with that person more intoxicating to the fact.
But you can be with a person and not put yourself in danger.
True, but I guess part of
I think we used to. Now I remember when we were growing up, we had those commercials, especially on BET about Wrap It Up. I'm not sure. I don't watch BET anymore, so I don't know if they still come on. But I remember those commercials.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I, you know, I don't understand the stigma of using a condom. You know, and regardless to what some people have said, you still have the feeling with a condom on. You don't feel the rubber itself. So I'm not sure what the mentality is of that. But regardless of the fact, I'm not sure if we need more public service announcements, or maybe we need more community outreach with regard to public service announcements in person, to finally get up and personal to these people who are literally infecting the population. That's the best way to say it. They are infecting the population. And I also think it goes back to the new definition of dating. And I believe I said that on the show, because when we were younger, dating meant you pick up a person, y'all go out to a movie or dinner or whatever, you come home. Now dating means you're having sex with that person.
Right. So already off the bat.
So, interesting how things evolve. We made the correlation to why should, especially with so many black doctors, especially with so many black health educators, especially with so many black this, black that, why is the black community not improving its health? And we went all the way back to the Tuskegee Airmen incident with regard to these men being experimenting on being infected with sexually transmitted diseases and not given the cure, where some either died or were put in the hospital to be cared for. And looking at that stigma, of course, even prior to that, we as a black community didn't trust doctors. But then you add that, that enforced us not trusting doctors.
True.
So, you know, just it doesn't matter, I guess, what shade of doctor, black, brown, green, purple, yellow, if you will. The fact of the matter is that we as a community have proof that there's a great reason why we don't trust doctors, because it is valid. We have documentation that says that this doctor and a nurse of our color actually bamboozled us. So why should we trust the doctors? Now, granted, a lot of times, especially in rural communities, we don't go to the doctor until we have self-medicated ourselves enough where we're not getting relief. And 9 times out of 10, that is when we're on our last leg.
Also the fact that most low-income families, with the one, possibly one parent having two jobs or whatever, those individuals try to push through whatever they're going through, which also leads to them not going to the doctor to see what's going on.
Well, there is a trend that's changing somewhat in corporate America. A lot of companies now have in-house medical facilities. I think that is a great advantage, especially for employees who do push themselves and things like that.
And don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah, because you have no idea how much the damage. I mean, you know, it's different. It's different when you are You know what? No, I can't even say it's different when you're younger. I actually posted a report about a young lady who ended up with a blockage in her heart and almost died. This particular blockage is attested to older people. So we are so used to labeling diseases based upon age and color and race and ethnic group, whatever the case may be, that anything can happen at any given time. You know, when I had my gallbladder removed, I did not have any prior symptoms until the day that I showed up in pain. And again, self-medicating myself, thinking it was just a simple case of gas. Never, ever having like the predetermined feelings that people say as far as, oh, well, you're going to continue to feel this way, and then probably in a month's time it needs to be removed. Well, I went in on a Wednesday, you know, and then by Friday I was having surgery. My doctor that Thursday, my doctor sent me back to the ER, and that Friday they told me that it had to come out. Mm-hmm. So it's not as simple as one would think.
Sure.
So going into March, we had National Women HIV Awareness Day, and we talked about that. And the fact of the matter is, and of course it goes back to somewhat goes back to unprotected sex, because we also know that the transmitter of HIV and AIDS could be due to blood transfusion, and of course a mom can pass it on to her unborn baby. A lot of new improvements in healthcare has prevented that passing on to the baby. But, you know, advances in medicine come along, and some amazing things have come, especially with the first woman who was cured of sickle cell disease. There are more astounding things that I know that are coming down the pipeline with regard to healing and curing people of various diseases. You know, we hope every day that there are cures for the many various versions of cancer and
yeah.
things like that. So, you know, much research and much time and effort is going behind the various HIV AIDS drugs. And, of course, it has changed over the years, because I do remember when HIV and AIDS came out, there was like 19 meds or something like that that people had to take. And now they can take one pill in some cases. So we have seen the advancements, especially in the medicine, you know, with that. People don't have that feeling of they're sick to their stomach and things like that, because, of course, that came with all the various medicines as well.
Mm-hmm.
So things have truly changed in that arena, and other health disparities as well. Join the conversation, area code 646-787-8365. So in April, we had STD Awareness Month, which we talked about that. But the theme was Treat Me Right. And that theme sort of hit home with me, because it was a multiple aimed theme, meaning that you had the patient who was saying to the doctor, treat me right. You had the person who was involved in a relationship saying to their partner, treat me right. You had the person saying to the community around them, treat me right. And so that was the thing that sort of hit home with me, because of the fact is that depending on, no, it doesn't matter. If you have an STD, there's still a stigma regardless of what STD it is. I don't think there's a little STD, you know. STD is an STD is an STD.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. How that STD is still bad, so.
Right.
You know.
And then the thing is, the person who contracts the STD is always the one who is sort of looked at with the side eye, I guess, if you will, even in them not knowing where they received it from, because they had to get it from someone. It didn't just manifest in their body. Someone gave it to them.
Agreed. Again, back to my point, the fact of most partners who do have sexual transmitted disease are not forthcoming the fact that they do have that. They just want to go ahead and do what they want to do, whatever, which puts their partner at risk who doesn't have that.
But a lot of people who have sexually transmitted diseases don't know because they don't go to the doctor.
This is true, too. But I'm just going by the fact that those that do know and don't care or just want to go ahead and have sex or whatever, can be all right or whatever. No, it's not going to be all right.
Well, like that guy who we made because he couldn't get nobody and he
infected
everybody that way.
Oh, yes, when the people become infected with HIV and they go, well, I'm going to infect everybody I can, dot, dot, dot. Again, well, that goes back to interviewing your person.
Well,
they're not having these conversations that were had before where you get to know. Nowadays, you know, you have so many shows like Married at First Sight and things like that. You don't know, and I would hope that, and I don't know the behind the scenes of that show, but I would hope that at least prior to these people meeting and getting married, that at least there are some, you know, testing done as far as, you know, HIV, AIDS, herpes, whatever, so you know what you're, at least you know that you're marrying someone who won't infect you, who, you know, and things like that. So hopefully, I don't know the behind the scenes, and I'm not knocking the show. Some people do, you know, fall in love and get married off the thing, but this particular show is designed around that. But again, I don't know their background, so I'm just saying hopefully there is all of this done behind the scenes prior to the people getting married.
I just hate that you do have some people that make it like Regina was saying, there was a lady... almost 20 years ago, I want to say on Donahue or one of the older talk shows, that she had HIV, but also admit that she wasn't one to be forthcoming with the fact of telling people that she had it. That's their responsibility, as far as she was concerned, to ask that. If they don't, well, that's on them. They want what, you know, they got what they got as far as the fact of the sexual encounter.
That's sad.
That is sad. You know, a very ratchet way of thinking, but unfortunately you do have individuals out there that feel that way, especially with the fact that they got it. Now they want to kind of spread the virus out like that because of the hurt and embarrassment, I guess, that they're going through.
I don't know. We also, in that in April 2018, did our first Minority Health Expo. And we talked about how we could redesign everything where, one, it would benefit not only our exhibitors, but also the population that was coming in. And with that, since we are getting close to time up for the show, so we are doing a 2019 Minority Health Fair. It is going to be the combination of our health fair and our Minority Health Expo. And so with that, we will have breakout sessions, and we will also have exhibitors. Right now, we're currently looking at a previous place that we hosted the health fair at, the one-on-one gallery off of Main Street in Mesa, Arizona. So be on the lookout for that information coming out real soon. Also, with regard to hot topics, excuse me, that we did in 2018, we briefly spoke about domestic violence and all the situations with that. And so we actually partnered with A Better Way Ministry to look at the ways that we could educate the public on domestic violence. And A Better Way Ministry has a wonderful domestic violence prevention and education program. So we in turn partner with Jan Ward and her team in order to place a H3P domestic violence initiative up under us. And so we started that partnership in July. And it has been a great partnership, and we are thankful that we have her on board. We also, in October, relocated to Lansing, Michigan. So we are greeting you from Lansing, Michigan, and we will be expanding H3P and BHU consulting to the Lansing, Michigan area, and, of course, working with people in Detroit, East Point, and everywhere in between. So we're excited about that. Some of our upcoming shows, especially with regard to different unknown or a little known about rare diseases, we will probably bring some of those in to speak about that. Of course, I would be remiss, especially with having a domestic violence initiative, not to address what has been going on in the public recently, especially with the documentary on R. Kelly and what was just recently brought out about Drake and underage girls and things like that. I won't dwell on it long because we don't have much time in the show. I will say that there is a stigma, especially with black women, that when we say something, it has to be looked at up under a microscope to prove that it is true. And in some cases, we have to have concrete pictures and things like that. And just the just the constant thing where it's about keeping the black man down, but it's never about uplifting the black woman. And as a black woman, it's very sad to see other black women more so attacking the people that were in the documentary, knowing fully well that this individual has a history of doing all kinds of perverse things, but still attacking these women for whatever the reason. So we will probably elaborate more so, especially with Domestic Violence Month, and hopefully we'll be able to have Jan Ward on to speak to that more so. But, yeah, you know, yes, I did watch the documentary. Some of it was not a surprise. A lot of it was just like, wow. But in that, it was never a case of me believing one over the other. The whole situation was sad, disgusting, and a lot of fail-safes should have been put in place way at the beginning, and I think that if they were, a lot of all of this stuff wouldn't have happened. But anyway, not leaving on a heavy note, we are looking so forward to our event in April. It's going to be a great event, and we can't wait to see what we're going to do here in Michigan with all the various here. So I want to thank you, Chris, for joining me. Regina,
no problem.
Thank you for joining me. Again, Happy New Year, everybody. We are so thankful to be back on the air. We will see you either in 2 weeks or a month. I'll let you know. But you guys have a great day, and this has been What's New with VHUs, and see you soon. Bye.